Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history.
One of my good supporters is a biology professor, and we did a show, and I do want to talk to him again because there are things that he told me about his viewpoints on COVID, but in this show we haven't touched base on that. But it's nice to have somebody of that caliber around so that I can also check what we are saying in the white right versus reality. Hi there, Sid. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm fine. Glad to finally talk to you. Actually, I've been following you for years, so this is fun for me.
Excellent stuff. Excellent. Well, I've never had an academic of your let's call it caliber following me. So maybe you can give the audience a little bit of an idea of your background, so that they know a bit more about you.
So I actually grew up in Appalachia in West Virginia. And yeah, I grew up hunting and fishing like crazy, and it was a rural area where I grew up, but you know, I was fairly smart, so I ended up going on and get my PhD in biochemistry, and I later worked in metabolomics, which is big data, but I'm an associate professor and I have tenure, so I've been in academia for 15 years now. So that's my background, sort of.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. And your background in that kind of academic stuff is of tremendous interest. So, basically you were a a wild white boy out in the mountains. and then you discovered, then it turned out that your DNA was that you actually have a high IQ. so you're a high IQ redneck.
I guess that's the way to describe me. But yeah, I would even go further and say that actually in the mountains, it's funny because in cities, IQs are stratified. But I've met a lot of people like out in the mountains in a little cabin somewhere that are, you know, it's less stratified. You'll find high IQ guys sprinkled within the population. That's one thing I've noticed. But I went to a high school where there wasn't a single black person. And I was totally Jew blind until I got into my academic career to a significant degree. So actually, they thought I was an exotic species. The Jews that I met.
Why did they think you were exotic? Because you're from Appalachia.
Yeah. And then I would say stuff like, because out here, I don't know if it's a Schofield Bible or whatever, but it's like a lot of the churches, they call them Zionist churches. And they'll say stuff like, yeah, well, the Jews are God's chosen people. And I'd tell them stuff like that, and then they know that I was completely naive about Jewish people. And they would actually open it up a little bit and, you know, tell me about Sandy Koufax and try to educate me. It wasn't until later that I became more sophisticated on that sort of stuff. So no, not one black person in my high school, not one Jewish person. So that was my background, and I was just sort of thrown into this academic milieu. So, that's my background.
That's very interesting. We may touch on some of your experiences because you've told me some interesting things. But I think today let's get on with some other American stuff. But one thing I will say is that since I'm a total believer in DNA and the importance of DNA, I have come across so many examples of whites who grow up on farms and things, and they're just simple farm boys, and then those farm boys turn into amazing guys. I came across a story from America about some farm boy in the 1800s who invented the telephone. He was one of the earliest inventors of the telephone. And he was a freaking farm boy, and his only education was he read the various magazines or periodicals that could teach him about electricity and radio and stuff. And the natural talent of whites is so important, and I hate with a passion what is happening to whites everywhere in the world, and that whites start thinking that they're the same as blacks. I hate it. It is so freaking wrong.
Well, I mean, sub-Saharan African IQs run around 70, and then in America, the IQ of the average black, because they've mixed the law with whites, is 85, and then whites by definition is 100. So yeah, and it determines everything. There was a study called the Minnesota Twin Study. And what they did is they took identical twins, and then they would adopt them out to different families, some lower socioeconomic families, and then some higher socioeconomic families. And it was amazing. That really made an impression on me reading that study because, I mean, the kind of beer they would drink, everything is determined by genetics. And then the other thing I would say is I sort of understand more than most people. When you say the average IQ is 70, that's where you're starting to get into what they call retarded for whites. But it's a
Yes.
huge difference between 70 and 100. And then by the time you get up to 120, 30, then it's a huge difference. So, yeah.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Very interesting that stuff that you mentioned about the DNA, the identical twins. Very interesting about identical twins. I think those are topics we can come and revisit, because these are important topics. And a thing that I want to try and explain to people, a thing that I want to try and explain to people is that people need to understand their innate talent. That just because some Jew and some black is telling you, no, you're equal, isn't true. And people need to realize that they can, it's amazing how whites are being pushed down and pushed down, and they are staying down. And it's so wrong. It makes me so angry. But I want to ask you, from a political point of view, the things that are happening in America now, what are the things in America now that you, from your perspective, see and that bothers you?
Well, this Trump business is aggravating because it's like, what the hell? And so, I mean, we got lucky and was elected Trump, who's not great. I don't like him that much, but he's reasonable at least. And so that's aggravating. And then the other thing, I'll tell you, I took that Epstein, that Jeffrey Epstein business. I took a deep dive into that, and it just aggravates the crap out of me. We're getting screwed by Israel and the American Jews here badly, and they've been raping us for a long, long time. So, yeah. And the other thing is, the system seems to be that as you move up the ladder, they'll try to compromise you with, pedophilia or whatever. And if you take the ticket, they'll help you out. But if not, you're sort of locked out of the system. So there's a lot of blackmail that's going on and whatnot. So that really infuriates me, to be honest.
Okay, so tell me about Trump. The charges against Trump, he's been arraigned or something, and it's all that stuff about the secrecy. Is that the stuff that's irritating you?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Biden, I mean, it's just document mishandling. I mean, you can't take a guy out and throw him in jail, a president, because he could declassify anything he wants to. So it's aggravating. I mean, it's a real power play. I mean, there's some odd stuff going on. I'll tell you another thing. I've been watching videos, and there's military moving all around this country, strangely. I bet you haven't probably, you probably haven't seen that. So
No.
I don't know. I think the shit may be hitting the fan. I'm not sure. But I think we're having an economic collapse, so I'm worried about that. You know, because I got kids and stuff. So I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, regarding Trump, to me it looks like very hypocritical stuff because other presidents also were doing things, and it just looks like they've been hunting for Trump. They've been hunting for Trump legally, literally from the moment after they cheated him at the presidential election. I posted stories on my website that they were already hunting for legal stuff, and they seem to have looked under, there wasn't a stone that they didn't look under to try and find something about Trump. So it looks like a real witch hunt, and it looks like they got all kinds of different things. Haven't they had other things like women trying to say that he raped them and other kinds of crap already. It's been multiple court cases, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, in my opinion. I mean, the woman that said he raped her was that was from like 25 years ago or something. I mean, there's no evidence of that at all. And yeah, it's you're definitely right. It's a witch hunt. But
Yeah,
yeah, so.
and when all these women come out 20 years later, one after the other, I just say to myself, there's somebody that's been looking for them. Somebody's been looking for them and gathering them together and saying, okay, come, 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 come. You must get into the media now. They're not doing that of their own accord. I can't buy that. But didn't they say that they can put Trump in jail for this, quotes, this classified documents thing?
Yeah, for like 215 years, I saw one headline along those lines. But I mean, we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I mean, and that's the other thing. It's become clear that we have like the so-called deep state here, where the intelligence agencies they're totally corrupt, and they're just pushing people around like crazy. So I mean, I've been shocked the last 5 years how aggressive they are. So, and they're all tied up with the Israelis, and I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, and the other thing that really frosts me, because in Appalachia we've got like 500 years worth of coal sitting under our ground. It's a coal country, and they put in this green energy stuff. So now gas is expensive. I mean, that's the one thing I keep going back to is like, okay, America. Maybe they're going to try to take us to war with China or Russia or whatever, but we're food self-sufficient, and we've got enough energy that we're self-sufficient. So if push comes to shove, we'll be okay. But they've shut all that the green energy, and the CO2 drives me nuts. So we breathe in oxygen and we exhale CO2. So they're calling what we exhale pollution, which is ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, I could go on raving, but yeah, it's like they're being intentionally destructive. So.
Yeah, they are busy playing games. The more I look at Jews just take anything and they use it. They play games with words all the time, and they use it. They are the masters of manipulating people with words. And one thing I'm noticing between Jews and blacks is that as time goes by, words have less and less meaning. That people can say things, and after a time, normal people start switching off, which is good, which is that it's about the only way that you can react to this. But all this green stuff. I've looked at a lot of strategic stuff for America and the West and the world. And one thing about America is America has no shortage. America and Canada have got no shortage of anything. You guys have got so much stuff under the ground that you've got oil, you've now said you've got coal, you've got more than enough of everything that you need. You're actually fine. North America can function without needing any oil or anything from anyone, anywhere, except for maybe certain critical minerals like chrome. But other than that, you guys are fine. But I'm noticing this green thing and how they are. You know, to me, it's like I ask myself, why are they doing this? It's like the same thing with petrol and electric cars, where I ask myself, why are they pushing electric cars even here in South Africa? Here we can't even keep the lights on all the time, yet they now want to convert us to electric cars. It's completely insane. It can't work. And I actually looked at like electric cars. The cheapest electric car in South Africa would cost the same as my house. Now, if a car costs the same amount of money as your house, there's definitely something wrong there. So, I've been wondering if these Jews are trying to destroy some industries and try to make money out of other things that, you know, as usual, they don't really care about anything. They are just looking to put money in their pockets, and they're just busy playing their games, regardless of how it tears the country apart. That's what it's looking like to me. But interesting that you mentioned coal. We've got coal in South Africa, and we've got like at least 200 years worth of coal. Maybe not as much as you guys, but we've got lots of coal, and we also have the German technology that takes coal and turns it into petrol. We actually, believe it or not, we actually can do that here in South Africa.
Yeah, the
So,
Germans did that in World War
yes.
II when they cut off the Romanian oil fields. Yeah, no, I've been looking at stuff like that because I think, and it may not happen. I'll tell you what I thought when I heard, well, this is way back when I wasn't even that racist or anything. When I heard that the blacks were going to, there's going to be black rule in South Africa, I thought, man, they're only going to last for 5 years before the electricity shuts off. So it's sort of like a little bit of a black pill for me because you guys are still sort of working 20, 30 years black rule. How long has it been
Yes,
since you guys had?
it's almost 30. Next year it will be 30 years.
And I remember thinking to myself, it's not going to be 5 years and they're going to be going down the tubes, but you sort of countries tend to cook along. But I've even got more granular than what you're talking about because I think we're going to balkanize here in the United States and it's going to break up. So I'm looking at Appalachia and you mentioned the coal to petrol. We've got a big chemical company close to where I live and the coal actually has a bunch of the rare earth minerals in it, which you need those for microchips and all that stuff. So I'm thinking in terms of, okay, could we have an Appalachian corridor where we'd be self-sufficient? And so that's where my mind's been going because it'd be nice to, it's probably the same thing with you. You're thinking in terms of border republics and stuff like that, but I'm thinking more strategic all the time. So that's sort of where my mind's gone.
Yeah, so by balkanize, you mean that America can start breaking apart.
Right, into regions. So that would be fine with me at this point. So.
The big problem is going to be though, how is it going to be done physically? Because that is the same problem that we face here. It's one thing to do it informally. That's the easy way, but the other thing is whether it becomes a formal thing. Can you get to rule yourself? That's a whole other ball game. That is a whole other ball game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it'd take a war or referendums or what. I haven't thought that far along. I'm just thinking in terms of is my region that I grew up in, would it be self-sufficient if it broke away or have enough resources that it could sustain itself. So that's sort of where my thinking's gone, because I can't see this thing holding together. I mean, honestly, I might be pessimistic. Like I said, South Africa, I didn't figure that'd last 5 years after Black Rule was instituted. So I don't know, but it'd be nice.
I'll tell you what the secret is in Africa, is that you know, you being a professor, I reckon that it's as simple as a mathematical formula, that all that you need to do is have a ratio. There are ratios of whites to blacks, and that all that you need to know is this country, the ratio of the white population to the black population is that, therefore the country is going to last that long. In other words, the higher the ratio of the whites to the blacks, the longer the country will survive before it collapses. Countries where the population is 99% black, they start going down immediately. And, you know, when it comes to like Zimbabwe, where the whites were initially like 2%, it lasts longer. What keeps these blacks alive, the reason the countries don't collapse, is because there are other things at work. The people who are keeping these countries alive, there are two things that are keeping them alive. The one is international business. Whites from anywhere in the West come into black countries, and they come with a lot of money. So you get whites and Jews, and they come in there, and they invest, and they do things, and they actually fix things. And that is one of the reasons why the blacks survive. The other reason the blacks survive is the whites who live there naturally. Those whites contribute out of proportion. Those whites contribute out of total proportion to their numbers to the country, and that keeps the blacks going. And in South Africa, the whites have been so clever. And between, on the one hand, you know, South Africa is literally owned by Jewry and Freemasons. So the people who've got all the big money are either Jews or whites who are Freemasons. And then you've still got a couple of other whites around who also manage to make some money. So those groups have got a lot of power. You see, one of the things that's kind of also missing in this is that people don't realize that in the liberal world, the liberal Western world, the American kind of world that we're in, that businesses can end up having more power than the government. That a business, and in Africa, if you had a guy like Bill Gates coming to Africa, he could literally buy a bunch of black nations, lock, stock, and barrel. So these companies come here with money and technology, and they bring in skills. And so the blacks actually just sit and make some basic laws, and they try to run the cops, and they try to do a few things. But a lot of this stuff is being done by other people. And in South Africa, for example, we had lots of Boers who used to be in government. So there were lots of Boers who were police. Lots of Boers were in electricity, in parastatals like Eskom. Lots of Boers were in TV, etc. So it took the blacks quite some time to drive those whites out, to fire them and get rid of them. But as they get rid of the whites over a period of time, then you start seeing the black inefficiency starting to set in. And so that is why electricity is now a problem, is because they've gotten rid of whites over a period of time. But the fact is that whites who work in places, as well as the wealthy, they save the blacks continuously. South Africa is insanely rich due to minerals. But
So what you actually see is whites come and whites fix things, and the blacks don't really care. They've got endless amounts of money coming in from taxes and things, and they waste and spend as they please. So then they actually get all these European businesses, European and American and local businesses that say, "Oh, I can fix this, I can fix this, I can fix that, I can fix that." And so they run around and they fix everything, and then everyone turns around at the end of the day and they say, "Oh no, blacks can rule. Blacks can rule." I actually did a video about it. I called it The Art of Mismanagement. I don't know if you saw that video.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing it, but I'm well aware that they can misrule, and there's a lot of inefficiencies with them. I thought back when there was a debate about whether we should pay reparations to blacks, I was like, well, why don't we just tell them we'll give them 300 grand or something like that, but on the condition that they have to go to Nigeria or Africa. And I just wonder if they would go, because I think deep in their hearts, they know that they're sort of dependent upon us for any kind of lifestyle at all. I might be wrong about that, though. They might take the money and run. But I'm sure Africa wouldn't like that plan.
Yeah, the your blacks are quite interesting. I must say that I've heard this thing about your blacks being average IQ 85, but when I was in Memphis, Tennessee, I've had a chance to observe any blacks that I ran into in America. I observed them and watched them and listened to them. The place where I saw blacks the most was when I was in Memphis, Tennessee. And I stayed with a guy at his place for a week. And in the day, I would go out and I'd walk around Memphis and I'd go and just see what's going on. And I had a chance to observe blacks quite a bit as blacks drove by they drove by like in a Mercedes and they had loud music playing. The funniest thing I saw, God, I must find the video for this. The funniest thing I saw that I thought was hilarious, I saw a black on a motorbike, but it's a three-wheel motorbike. I don't know what you call the thing. I assume you know what I'm talking about. It's got like two wheels.
Tricycle.
Do they call it a tricycle?
I believe so.
So it's, I think it's got like a wheel at the back and two wheels at the front, or something like that. But it's an engine-driven thing. And are you is that the thing that you're thinking of?
I think so, yes.
So,
Usually they have two in the back and one in the front, but yeah.
okay, but it's got a motor and it's like a car, and you can drive it around. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay, so I saw that, and I'd never seen that before, and I could see this thing must have cost a lot of money. So I actually went up to the black and I said to him, "Can I take some photos and videos of your awesome thing?" And he's like, "Yeah," he says. And so I took some videos, but I was laughing my ass off. And to me, it's like a bunch of nerd. It's just like a bunch of nerd crap. It's got when I see sort of wasteful technology, I laugh at it. And I thought to myself, probably, it probably may. And I think blacks, it was quite popular among blacks. And I thought, yeah, maybe they can't ride a motorbike properly. So this is the next best thing. But God, it's to me it's like a waste of money and a toy. And I see so much of that rubbish around, and people begin to regard those things as reality. I've got very strict. I'm very much concerned about reality, because it's like everything is moving away from reality, but whites are at their best in reality. whites function the best in reality. Just like you as a kid, as a farm boy, you know, you are at your best when you're out there hunting and fishing and doing various things. That is important.
Well, what you have to understand is if you got a competent black, and there are a few kicking around, with the affirmative action, they can make damn good money. And let's face it, if you could buy a tricycle like that, you might do it because it's fun. I mean, a lot of people ride four-wheelers around here. That's the big toy. I've never gone in for that sort of thing. But if I had excess money, I might, because it's fun. So it's the same, yeah. And well, then I'll also mention that Memphis is like one of the worst cities in the United States.
Well, that was the thing about Memphis, was to go there because the whites are already outnumbered 2-1 when I was there. And to watch these blacks. Oh, yes. And what I wanted to tell you about the blacks. When I looked at the blacks in Memphis and I observed them and listened to them, I must tell you, I did not think that their IQ was higher than the blacks in Africa. I did not think so. I think that their IQ is no different to that of the blacks in Africa. So when people claim the IQ of your blacks is 85, and when I look at their skin color as well, and when I look at their skin color, those blacks look like genuine blacks from Africa, low IQ. Can you really trust that 85 IQ? Can you really trust that?
I think so, because you see a lot of light-skinned blacks over here. Memphis is a special case because it's a really, really black city. And it's violent, too. It's dangerous in Memphis. Did you feel any danger when you were there?
No. Whenever I'm in America, I feel safer than I've ever felt in my life. So, but I have been. What's that other city in Georgia where you land in? Is it the state? Is it Georgia? There's a city that's also black. It's on the East Coast.
Maybe Atlanta.
Yes. Sure. I've been to Atlanta. I was in Atlanta in 2010, and there are quite a lot of blacks as well. And so those two cities are the ones I saw, but Memphis's blacks were to me like no different to blacks in Africa. In fact, blacks in Africa may actually be better behaved than the blacks in Memphis. I found American blacks to be loud and uncouth. I find them to be rude, and the way that they talk to whites. Blacks in Africa don't talk to whites like that, believe it or not. I find them to be quite uncouth, actually.
Let me ask you a question, because I was always surprised when I listened to your stuff. You had a focus on America that I was like, why the hell would he care about America? He's all the way out in South Africa. Can you explain why you think America is even important to you guys down there, or?
I'll tell you. America is important because America is the most powerful nation in the world. And let me explain from our perspective here in Africa. When we had all these wars here in Africa, and we had the Russians and the Chinese with the blacks, Russians, Chinese, and Jews with the blacks, our main enemy were the Russians. And so for us, We were constantly turning to Europe, and we were saying the Europeans must help us because, you know, we got the Russians here on our doorstep, Russians and Chinese on our doorstep, and then America. And we had a lot of exposure to America. All of our TV was British or American. So we got to see a lot about America, even if it was just American Hollywood. But we are well acquainted with America. America is a place that we know about. and we look to Europe and America as the bigger powers. But when we were looking at the wars that we were fighting, a big thing in Rhodesia was the comparison that the whites were drawing with the war in Vietnam, because the Vietnam War was raging when I was a kid. So it was often said, constantly said by whites in Rhodesia, that we are fighting the same enemies that America is fighting. We are fighting the same enemy here in Africa that America is fighting in Vietnam. And, you know, we used to say the Americans should know that we're fighting the same enemy and, you know, that they must help us, you know, because we're just a very tiny number of whites. So our perspective of the world is that America is the greatest power of the Western world, and America is insanely militarily powerful and scientifically advanced. So for us, we look to America as the leader of the Western world, and that is, and we like America as well. We like what we saw of America, because the America that we used to see was 90% white, 10% black. We like it. Lots of things about America were very popular among whites here in Africa. Whites loved America, and Boers in particular have an insane love of everything American. Even things like sort of cowboy music was very popular in South Africa. South Africa, anything cowboy related, and believe it or not, as kids, we used to play cowboys and Indians. So here we are, little white kids in Africa, and we go to the toy shop and we buy our stuff cowboys and Indians. And if you look at it, Hitler also played cowboys and Indians. And so the kids were playing cowboys and Indians, and the rules for cowboys and Indians is that the cowboys are white, and we all just want to be cowboys, but there's got to be somebody who's got to be a fucking Indian. So everybody wants to be a cowboy because we know we're going to kill the Indians, and we always fuck the Indians up. But some poor sucker has to be the Indian today, but we're going to fuck him up anyway. And you know, so when I look at when I look at our culture. In Southern Africa, I will tell you what was a huge disappointment. I'll tell you what was a huge disappointment for us in Africa. We were hugely disappointed that America did not even give a shit about us. We were enormously disappointed in that. It was a big disappointment. And where America came really fucked it up for us, and I'll say it in that way, was we were waiting for years in Rhodesia and South Africa. We were constantly saying, "We got it. We wish the Americans would do something. We wish the Americans would do something or see something." And then along came the Jew Henry Kissinger. When the Jew Henry Kissinger arrived, of course, most of us, like myself, we just saw him. We saw the Jew Henry Kissinger as the American, the white American Henry Kissinger. So we're like,
I hate that son of a bitch. I hate that son of a bitch.
yes, and I hate him too now with a passion. And that son of a bitch came here and he actually fucked with the minds of our leaders. And I've mentioned that in other videos. And he sent them all down the wrong path. Henry Kissinger actually single-handedly destroyed Rhodesia, actually. That's the bottom line, is that the shit that Jew made us do, and we trusted him, and our prime minister trusted him. So for us, we look up to America, and we see America as the leader of the Western world. I mean, America's got an enormous navy. You've got nuclear weapons. Your navy can go anywhere. Your planes can go anywhere. And we're on your side. We are on your side. And that was the way that all of us thought. All the whites of Southern Africa, without exception, we looked on America and we said, America, we are on the same side as America. We're fighting the same fight as America. Why the hell doesn't America help us? Why doesn't America lift a finger? And we could never understand that. And it's only much later now that I'm much more politically sophisticated, that I do understand and I've started to see how fucked up America is. And clearly Jewry got in there and Jewry was fucking with you. So when I look at the things that have gone wrong in America, Sid, I look at the hippies, I look at Vietnam, I look at the rise of blacks and liberalism. And it's to me like Jews, when I look at all the various things that I can pick up about America, because there was a lot of violence in America in the 60s. And when I look at that kind of stuff, it's like America was already fighting a race war in the 1960s, but the difference is white Americans lost it. And in many respects, we in Africa actually outlasted America. You know, the civil rights movement was a huge fucking disaster. And, I mean, weren't Jews the prime movers in that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think that you could say that. But there's white liberals, too, that aren't necessarily Jewish. But, yeah, it was a huge mistake. I mean, I can't believe it. It's the same thing with apartheid. It's like it's not that bad of a system. Just separate everybody. I mean, it's not like it's cruel. And I don't think there was big massacres of blacks in South Africa. It's like they just can't leave it alone. But I will tell you this. So we've got our asses kicked in Afghanistan for all intents and purposes. And that's what, sort of way I think about Appalachia is we could be like the Afghans. I mean, we could hold them at bay. And then the final thing I would say is there would be no appetite. So say you guys got in a war and tried to liberate your border republics. I can see under no circumstances where we'd come over and fight on the side of the blacks, like bomb you guys or something, use our air power over there. So maybe that's good news. I don't know.
So you think that America, that if we had a war against the blacks, you think that America would at least not come and kill us, kill the whites?
There would be no appetite for that at all. Because, I mean, people are starting to get fed up. Even over here, people are starting to wake up to the Jewish question, and the blacks are pissing everybody off. And the other thing you have to understand is, so in my region, we produce most of the hardcore fighters. And, a lot of these, New York City doesn't produce that many fighters. I mean, you'll see it in the movies. You know, if you'll notice, like, if there's like a real good fighter or something, he'll have a Southern accent or something, along those lines, or a hillbilly accent. So, the military, I mean, I don't think they can move on South Africa if it tried to liberate itself. And I'm pretty sure about that, 95% sure. So maybe that's good news. I don't know.
That is excellent news, because the only thing that I would fear in a race war is whether America would come and kill us. If we're left alone, then I'm happier with that, even if America doesn't give us anything. But I'm very glad to hear that you say that people are getting more pissed off with the blacks. That is excellent. That is very good. And in many respects, Sid, people just need to get angrier and people need to do more. One of the things I was wondering about Trump is what would happen, you tell me, how do you think the average American, white American, because to be honest with you, I don't really regard others as Americans, but how do you think the average white American would react if Trump was either put in jail or Trump survives all the persecution or the legal persecution, but Trump is beaten in the next election. They cheat him at the next election. How do you think whites would react in America?
Honestly, I think we're pretty soft right now. So I don't see armed insurrection happening necessarily. I think what we're going to have to do is there's going to have to be a big collapse, and then people start getting, you know, cranky. and then you might see something along those lines. But I could easily see the region I'm in say, screw this, we don't want to be with the rest of you, and break away. But that'll be a long process, I think. But I think there's going to have to be some sort of collapse, and then you might see some movement. Because I know everybody thinks, well, the conservatives piss me off, but they have held the line on guns. So everybody I know has at least, you know, three guns. And if everybody got pissed off at the same time, it wouldn't even be a thing. And I've even talked to guys, because like I said, a lot of people from this area join the Marines and the Army. And I'll talk to these young guys and say, look, the time may come where they ask you to fire on your own people. Don't do it. And they're all like, yeah, I know, I won't. So, I mean, I have this kind of discussions with these guys joining the military. So I don't know. I think it's going to have to get worse before it gets better. But, I mean, you guys are in that situation, I think. I mean, your backs are against the wall as far as I can tell. So
that is very interesting. I like what you are telling the guys. Very excellent that you're telling them to not shoot on their own people. And that is a very important thing. That whites, you know, it's a case of whites need to start disconnecting from the system. They need to start moving away and realizing that the system can't be trusted. When I asked you about Trump, I wasn't asking you whether people would rise up in anger and shoot people, but do you think it would anger them? Do you think they'd be pissed off?
Yeah, his poll numbers have been going up like crazy because I think people are getting sort of pissed. Like, what the hell is this? I mean, it's so outrageous the way he's being treated. And like I said before, I think Trump's not that great of a guy, but I mean, it's so outrageous. And the whites sort of rose up in 2016 and elected him. It was a big surprise to the system when he got elected. So it's like, you know, a lot of people are thinking, what the hell? And then you've got the different groups. You got the young people who are pretty clueless. But the boomers and stuff are like, they're starting to think, what the hell is going on here? So
That's very interesting to hear, and that's good to hear. And you see, that's the whole thing is it has to get worse everywhere. And I've always said, the worse, the better. It's got to get worse and worse and worse. It's got to get more violent. It's got to get more dysfunctional, because that's the only way that whites are going to start seeing that things aren't coming right. And ultimately, what I've noticed about white people is that things literally have to come to the doorstep of a white person before he really wakes up. He has to lose his job, or he has to be persecuted at his job. Things have to happen personally to a person, and then it starts having an effect on them. I think warfare is still far away, even here. Warfare doesn't just happen. I must do a video about that, because warfare doesn't just happen. People can put up with lots and lots of shit. And the whites here are so able to handle the blacks that, and I think that the Jews are also, the Jews as well as the Freemasons are busy corrupting the blacks. So they've been able to get a lot of power over the blacks by just corrupting them. And that starts breaking down the blacks' faith in their own system. So in the case of South Africa, I think that less blacks believe in their own system and less whites are believing in the system. But whites, there are whites that have gone down big time. And lately, I've been seeing quite a lot of whites on street corners, white men on street corners, or even sleeping on the sidewalk kind of thing. I've seen more of that than I've seen in a while. And whites are really hitting hard times. And COVID also helped to wipe out a lot of businesses. So hardship is increasing, and hardship is necessary. Hardship is the only thing that really wakes people up. And so I think in your country is going to be the same thing. You need to see blacks committing crimes. You need to see blacks raping women, killing women. You need to see those things. It's got to outrage, got to make people more outraged.
Well, the thing you have to understand is after World War II, we were fabulously rich. I mean, the big problem here is people are too fat. So they're fat and lazy, and they haven't had hardship their entire lives. And that could change quickly because I'm telling you, the blood tells in the end. And people miss a couple meals, and they'll really start getting cranky. And I think that a lot of black or a lot of whites could be very vicious. So, like you said, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But yeah, no, the blood it always tells in the end. So yeah, and I think we could be facing a pretty big economic collapse, and we're seeing that in this country. I mean, San Francisco used to be a genteel city. It was really nice, and they've got tents lined up on the streets now, and a lot of it's the whites. Part of it was the
Really?
stupid. Yeah. You can get on the internet and see it. I mean, they've got lots of homeless encampments in the United States now. Most of it's drug related because they pumped in the fentanyl. I'll tell you another story real quick.
Go for it.
My wife's a doctor, and they were setting up all these pain clinics because you had these Sacklers, which are Jewish. And they were pumping in, and what they were saying, and I saw it coming from a mile away, nobody should ever be in pain. So they were selling this OxyContin. Well, the problem is these opioids are highly, highly addictive. So they were setting up these pain clinics and stuff. Or, a high school football player would, get injured, and they'd put them on these opioids, and they got a hell of a lot of people addicted. And then somewhere, somebody's sending in a lot of fentanyl now, which is real cheap, potent opioids. So yeah, it's destroyed a couple cities. I mean, it's noticeable even out here where I am. My first 25 years growing up, I never saw anybody begging on the street or anything. I'm starting to see that even here, where it's 95% white, and it's not super prosperous, but I'm starting to see that even now. So things are degenerating a little bit. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's hard when you're looking at videos on the internet to get a sense for that. But I mean, if you live here, you start noticing stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I thought it's best if we talk, because seeing things on the internet is one thing, but living in a place is another. So say more about your wife, the doctor, and these Sacklers.
Yeah, so they were recruiting her to a pain clinic at one point, and she liked it because it was good hours and it was lucrative, money. But I told her you might as well just go perform abortions before you do that. So they've got a lot of people addicted to stuff over here at this point. So they're living. I mean, some of these cities have become almost unlivable. San Francisco is the best example I could think of, and there's not so much around here, but there are a lot of like meth addicted people, and drugs are a problem even in this area. So, yeah, it's getting a little rougher around the edges, I have to say. More than when I was a kid, way more than when I was a kid.
That's very interesting. And I find it so shocking that so many American cities have been destroyed. Like, wasn't Detroit also destroyed? I mean, how many American cities have been destroyed also by either liberals or blacks, black mayors? You people have had a lot of mismanagement in quite a number of cities, haven't you?
Yeah, but now, but my point was, is now it's not necessarily just the blacks. It's a lot of the whites are going down and living on the street and see how begging and stuff. So I never saw that growing up. I mean, I never saw one b white beggar or any beggar actually when I was growing up. But now I'm starting to see them popping up. I mean, not there's still not a lot, but yeah, things are it's concerning.
Yeah, in South Africa, we never had such a thing as a white beggar. That kind of stuff never existed. But probably about 15 years ago, 15 or more years ago, that kind of stuff started here. Yeah, now there are whites who've really gone downhill, really gone downhill. Some of them, you don't know if you'll ever be able to recover them. It's very hectic. Yeah, if the whites are going down, well, that's got to be showing people stuff, eh? These Jews do anything the hell they want. These people are just in it for the money. Jews don't give a fuck about America. They don't give a fuck about any country. But they like to pretend. They like to pretend all kinds of things. But that Sackler thing was bad. So did your wife then move away from doing the work at the clinic? Nice comment about it being the same as abortion.
Yeah, no, I convinced her not to go in for that. But yeah, no, I mean, I knew it was dangerous from the very beginning because I know opioids and they're highly addictive. And I couldn't believe that they were pulling this shit. And it's like I would even go farther; they're in it for the money. It's like they're actively malevolent to our population. That's the other thing I would say. Appalachia, I think they're worried about us because we're sort of warlike and hotheads and that sort of thing. And they're moving in all these NGOs and they're doing all kinds of destructive stuff up here. So, yeah, it's like I can't believe it. It's like they're malevolent to the pop our population. So, at least that's the way I'm starting to think.
Yeah, here in South Africa, Sid, I also noticed NGOs, these non-governmental organizations, and I've watched them, and to me, they are like the liberal world order globalists. I used to not know what these things are, but I've watched them and their activities in South Africa, and nowadays I have no time for them at all. When I see NGO, I think, get the hell out. These things should be chased out of the country. So, yeah, I think you're right. Look, Jews have got an innate hatred of whites, but the thing about them is they hide it so well. It just comes out now and then, but they have a hatred of us. I've definitely picked that up. I picked that up, 11 years ago when I woke up. That then I began to realize these people really hate us, but they keep it very silent. They keep their maliciousness and their hatred silent. The white people are suffering from a parasite problem. Jew parasites, black parasites.
Yeah, I think World War II scared them because the rise of Hitler and stuff. It was like he definitely put a dent in their fender. So.
Yeah, the Jews definitely. Yeah, Hitler definitely did his work. Hey, he didn't go and murder 6 million, but he really started scaring them, and they're very afraid of Hitler, and they're very paranoid, and they should be, but clearly they're not paranoid enough to stop their shit. They don't do that. I think there are other things that you've mentioned that are much more complex discussions by themselves, like things like balkanizing and breaking up. But tell me a bit about economic stuff. Is what are all the things that are showing you that the economy is going down? I had watched the banking
I had watched the banking stuff a couple of months ago and the Fed, but I haven't really been watching it lately. And I haven't seen any other banks going down. Are there any, apart from the whites that you're seeing on the streets and whites going down, are there any other signs that indicate to you that that things are looking bad?
I mean, I'm just watching the general stuff, and like our debt to GDP has gone up over 250% now. And traditionally, when you get that much debt, bad things happen. So I'm worried about that. And then I'm worried about losing world currency status because America's been able to export a lot of its inflation by printing money. And you know, 5 years ago, you'd hear, well, that doesn't matter in this, it's a new age and da da da. Because everybody was doing their trade in dollars. But if we lose that reserve st currency status, there's going to be a big bill to be paid. So those are some of the things I'm worried about.
The debt ratio, I'd like to hear you say more about that. But the American dollar, the world, the sort of reserve currency status, I don't know how easy it's going to be for America to lose that because American GDP is insanely high. So America's actual GDP is so high. It's literally the same as all of Europe combined. So, I don't think that it's going to happen easily. I've heard people talk about it and worry about it for years, but I don't think it's going to happen easily because, a thing that many people don't seem to realize, and it's a conclusion I've come to, is by watching Russia and China and all these other countries. Even the Chinese, if you look at the Chinese have got lots of problems. Their economy is not stable. And the thing that it looks to me like is that America may have come with its globalist story, but Africa and the Third World and China were the beneficiaries of this globalism. But actually, all of those economies are very, very fragile, and you can see their fragility. Like with this war, black African countries are now worried because they chased the white farmers out, and now they thought that they would be able to import food forever. They basically sell minerals to make money, and they import the food because they don't really grow food and that kind of thing. And now they're actually worried about food imports because they're struggling to get grain. So, the good news for me when I look at China and the Third World is that these regions on globalism is extremely fragile. It's very fragile. They are more likely to collapse long before America collapses.
Well, like I said before, I hang my hopes on the fact that we're food self-sufficient and energy self-sufficient again in no time flat. So that's a good thing. But I don't know. A couple more blow-ups and big wars and things could fall apart pretty quick. And the other thing is, I think the United States has pissed off a lot of people. They're like, "What the hell?" Because we are exporting inflation to them. And while these guys sit on top. So I could see a couple of these countries getting together and saying, okay, let's start trading in gold or and India has a hell of a lot of gold. So they could go to gold-backed currency or something like that. And if they do, yeah, and we lose the reserve currency status, it would be bad for us, I think.
I think that losing the reserve currency status will take a long time. I think it's going to be a slower process than you think. I think it'll be a slower process. If the Europeans were to give up on the US dollar, that would accelerate it. A lot of these other non-white states, even if they're big, I'm not that worried about them. I actually would my own opinion is that I think India's stronger than China, actually. I've looked a lot at the Chinese. They look like there's something, but there's not much there. It's more window dressing than anything. The Chinese lie a lot. They lie a lot. But what is the debt ratio that you were referring to?
I believe I heard it was 250% of GDP. So it's starting to get pretty high. And I would just say, because I've worked with a lot of Chinese, because in academia, we've got a lot of Chinese postdocs and technicians and stuff like that. They're not as stupid people. They're clever people and they're industrious. They'll work their asses off. So I wouldn't count them out completely, at least in my opinion.
That's interesting. We've got some Chinese here, but they've not impressed me at all. We have some Chinese, not many. We've got more Indians. We've got lots of Indians around. And but yeah, but the GDP. This is the debt ratio. This, mind you, that number sounds right, eh? Because what it's the $37 trillion that's outstanding. And didn't one of these conservatives go and say, oh, we had this great win, I think that they've had to go over that limit, haven't they? Had to go over that limit because there was this limit, but they're so into debt they can't stop. So didn't they have to continue lending money again? Didn't they set a new limit? They had to have done something like that.
Yeah, I think I don't know exactly what it is. I'm just talking off the top of my head, but it's gone up tremendously in the last couple of years. And the thing is, I've been hearing for 10 years, well, debt doesn't really matter. This is a new economy and stuff like that. Well, I don't know if that can go on forever. And then these moves by the BRICS countries to maybe come up with their own currencies so they could trade back and forth. I mean, China's sitting on a lot of mineral wealth too. And then of course Brazil is a huge country, and their economies aren't that big, and they don't have as much technology. But yeah, so I don't know. I think we could experience a collapse, a relative collapse. I don't think, like I said, we've got enough food and energy if we crank it up. But yeah, it's not. I don't think people will be starving necessarily, but it could get tight. And you have to understand, Americans, like I said, after World War II, we were the last man standing. We've been for the last 70 years, we've been extraordinarily prosperous. So Americans have gotten used to a certain level of prosperity, and I think they would get cranky fast if it went down to a significant degree. So.
That's interesting, and interesting that they talk about the new economy. That sounds like bullshit, like they were using on the Jews and the liberals were using on the Boers in the last days of apartheid, where they were telling them, "No, the world has changed. Things are different now." But actually, nothing is different. It's just that is the latest scam. And so, if they say it's a new economy and it's never going to happen, then that's just Jewish bullshit to keep the scam alive. They keep their scam alive. They keep the scam going until it can't go anymore. And one day it will implode. The only thing is, we don't know when. That's the only thing is, it seems as though there are people who are trying to hold things together. But yeah, we are heading into harder times, but. Worse is better. I reckon gunfire and all that's gonna make me feel a lot better. That's where we need to go, eh? We need to go. Fires, burning, killing.
then we're in the right space.
Well, don't Fed post, but let me ask you this real quick, because I know you got to get off here pretty soon. But what do you think South Africa is going? What's your best guess on where South Africa is going to go?
That is very interesting discussion. South Africa doesn't have any particular direction. In South Africa, the problem is that the Boers aren't properly in charge. And a lot of the Boers are also poorer. And in South Africa, there are whites, lots of whites who are English. And the English Boer thing, those English are mostly of British descent. And so they tend to live like you Americans. They tend to think only in terms of economy and money and trade. Whereas the Boers are more nationalists. They want a country, they want independence, they want a country that you know, they see a country should be run a certain way. They are becoming more and more uncomfortable. There are people that I know, that are, some of them I've known for years, and I've never discussed politics with them, and they've started discussing politics with me. They are feeling very uncomfortable when they look at where this thing is going. South Africa is a real clown show. But the thing is that the wealthy, the Jews and the Freemasons and all the wealthy, all the other wealthy, whatever whites there are who are wealthy, they've all managed to sort of corrupt and embed themselves with the black government. And they've been able to get some kind of influence over the government. So there are some things that they've been able to soften. The blacks would have liked to do certain things, but now the blacks are discovering diplomacy and that kind of thing. The country is a joke. Most people, even some blacks, have remarked that, you know, the government is a joke. But even so, the blacks will still vote for exactly the same political party because they know that, you know, that brought them their, quotes, freedom. At the moment, I don't see any kind of direction except that business drives South Africa. And South Africa is driven by minerals. So we sell lots of minerals to anyone who wants. We sell to China, we sell to Europe. Even America buys some minerals. So that is the basic driver of the economy. And that's keeping this country going despite all the corruption and theft and uselessness and so forth. If it wasn't that South Africa was such an insanely wealthy country, this country would have collapsed a long time ago. But I think that things are becoming so dysfunctional that I think the simple answer to your question is the good news is that lots of whites are getting more and more independent. And the more things break, like electricity, more and more people are being forced to have to do something about electricity for themselves. So they have to go and like buy batteries or buy a generator or do something. And they have to go and buy gas to cook and so on. So it's forcing people to become more independent of the system. And that is a good thing. That is a good thing. And the irony is that whites and like the Asians, whites and the Asians are able to look after themselves more and more. You know, you do have those who fall, but there are many who are able to look after themselves and keep their businesses going, keep their jobs going. And my prediction is that the common man, let's call it the higher man, the whites and the Asians, have actually got a chance to break free of the system, actually. The government is more dysfunctional, and it's the fucking wealthy as well as well-meaning whites. You know, you get Christian whites and stuff who go to help the blacks, and they go and suck up to the government and so forth. Those people are the ones that are keeping the country actually going. Whereas I say the damn thing should fall apart. Let it collapse. You know, let the thing collapse. Let the chips fall where they may. So that's my view.
Well, I've followed some of the younger South Africans just out of curiosity, and I've noticed them. They seem to be more radical to me. So I don't know. But, I mean, that's an outsider's view, but they seem like they're more radical. And I'll tell you what, that BEE it sounds so ridiculous to my ears. Man, that would just put me in a fury if I built up a business and had to give a big chunk of it to some random black guy. So I bet there's a lot of people that are getting really cranky. It would be my guess. So, yeah.
Well, in the case of BEE, people who've done it, like I know a woman from Europe who lives, she's one of my neighbors. She tried it. She tried it in order to get government contracts. So she had a black woman and she struck a deal with her, gave her part of the business, etc. But it doesn't look like she had to do it permanently. So I don't know how she organized it, but she needed it for when she went after that kind of business. So the black woman doesn't still control her business. So exactly how she structured it, whether she structured it as a subsidiary of her business. But she told me that she tried BEE and she dealt with the government. She got some contracts. She had this black woman. She said to me it was a total waste of time, total waste of time, total waste of money, and she ended it. And so she's done it, and she says it's a complete waste of time. Waste of time and money. So one of the things is that blacks like Jews are discrediting themselves. So if you give them opportunities, they fuck it up, and that's a good thing. The youngsters who sound very hardcore, they may talk hardcore, but talk is cheap. We'll see when other things happen. So I think, do you have any final things you want to say, and then we can wind up for today.
No, I think I'm sort of tired out. You wore me out. One final question, though. What was it going to be? What about the police and the army? How are they doing? Are they starting to break down at all? Or are they, I've heard a lot of stuff about the police being totally incompetent in South Africa. So what's your thoughts about that?
Okay,
and the military.
Very quick question. The army, the good news is that the army is totally useless. The army is fantastically useless, and that's awesome. And if there's anybody who would ever be a threat to us, it would be the cops. The cops are much more functional, and the cops are much more functional and physically dangerous, actually. They're the biggest state thing that could ever threaten us physically are actually the police. The police force is about three times the size of the army. They're all armed, and they are much more functional. The army, thank God, is completely fucking useless. That's awesome. So for me, I keep telling people, and then people say, oh, the Air Force is fucked, and this thing is fucked. And I say, that's a good thing. You want to keep it that way. Because you don't want those aircraft and helicopters to be coming and shooting you. Mind you, I have on rare occasions, like months go by, maybe 6 months sometimes or even longer, on rare occasions I'd see one combat helicopter actually flying. And I'd say to myself, man, so there is still one combat helicopter flying. But the Air Force is like totally dysfunctional, everything like that. And then wherever there are, the main thing that can ever hurt us is actually the police. People are not aware of that. People don't really notice that. I've seen enough. The police are the only ones that worry me. So, thanks very much for the questions, and I hope that I've been able to explain some things to you. Was I able to answer properly how we see America and why we look up to America? Did that make sense to you?
Yeah, because I was confused about that, and actually I learned quite a bit from you today because I was able to probe a little bit, but that's interesting. So I've always been fascinated with, well, Rhodesia and South Africa, or at least the last 10 years. So yeah, I really enjoyed our conversation, John.
So for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, you know you don't.